on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city needs saving.
What happened to you? The right to remain silent.
I'm in the future.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you really heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to DC on CW's Supergirl Edition on Rain Man Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile by downloading the Rain Man Digital app available in the iTunes App Store and Google Play. Simply search Rain Man Digital. You also get little alerts that say that our shows are starting, if that's what you're into. So that's super cool and a thing that I really like. But you can also find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher by searching DC on CW. And once you find us there, please go ahead and leave us a review. It helps out a ton. So today it'll be me, Lauren Alexander, and Bobby.
Hello, hello.
And we are going to be breaking down and discussing Supergirl Season 3, Episode 20, Dark Side of the Moon. So Mon-El and Supergirl travel to find that special Kryptonian space rock that can possibly cure Sam of the parasite that is Rain. And they make a huge discovery. So this episode was directed by Hanel Culpepper and written by Derek Simon and Katie Rose Rogers. So this episode, they go for that Kryptonian rock that can, you know,
it was help. A good continuation.
Yeah. They're trying to hunt for that rock for the cure for Sam. And they find more than they bargained for when they come across Argo City. So Supergirl has a few things that are always consistent. And it's that she is Superman's cousin. And she's always come from the same, like, city, a city that survived the destruction of Krypton. They managed to save this one city when the entire planet blew the hell up and got destroyed. There's always that lone survivor city floating out in space. That's just a constant. It is always Kara Zor-El. She's always Superman's cousin, and her home family has that little city.
And we are dumb for not thinking of this before.
Yeah. So Bob found an article from IO9 and it talks about how, you know, Supergirl TV series just added a major part of her comic book mythos. And they say, they're like, I don't think it's a spoiler to say Argo City is alive and well, but there's the spoiler bar anyways. After all, the CW showed the damn city off in every trailer from last week. But in case you missed it, yes, Kara's hometown survived the destruction of Krypton. And while her dad, aunt, and uncle are all dead, her mother and a whole lot of other Kryptonians in love with stilted line delivery are very much alive. My favorite part of this entire article is the next line. In retrospect, it's silly we didn't see this coming from the beginning of this season.
And that is, can't be any more true. Right? I mean, there was no, from the casting, new casting of her mom, to somebody recognizable, and then and just like the dreams. And
all the flashbacks.
If this would have been one of the ones at the beginning or the end of the year, you know, in a couple of weeks, where you would have been like, well, what were all those dreams and nightmares about if it, you know, they never did anything with them? Some of it I might go off and say thank you, Kreisberg, for the 9 weeks that we had off, that we've kind of spaced out a lot about a lot of that stuff that happened back
Surprise!
In October. Right? Like, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't like, you know, we just saw it 3 weeks ago. No, it was pretty much 6 months ago.
Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, all signs kind of pointed to this stuff, and we just didn't see it coming. No. I feel like no one really did.
No, not at all. It wasn't any kind of rumor thing that I ever read. It didn't show up on any Reddit board or anything else. So,
excuse me. So, the big thing that they're pointing out in this article, though, is that in like a lot of ways is an adaptation of Supergirl's most iconic story arc and like overreaching theme to her stories, because she doesn't have, they reference, you know, they were like, there's no death of Supergirl or Flashpoint or, you know, some huge big story like that for Supergirl. Now, I would argue that now there's like the Red Daughter of Krypton, which is like, that's a big deal for her.
Yeah.
It's very like unique to itself. So that's cool. But yeah, that's just, the big story for her has always been that there's a temptation of going home, because in basically every version, every story, every iteration, there is, some small part of her world that survives and her family is there, you know, whether it's just her mom or whether it's, you know, someone else in her family, like both of her parents, whatever, someone is there and waiting for her to finish, you know, her hero business on Earth,
yeah.
You know, wrap that stuff up and come back home to Krypton. So, or what's left of it.
Do you think that's going to be like the ending of the show?
I don't know.
Her going home.
Maybe. That's a great way to potentially end the series as a whole.
I mean, that, how else do you end these series? We always have those questions. Like, how do you end an Arrow? How do you end a Flash? There, you know, it's hard. It's hard to say but goodbye to being a hero.
I think for a regular hero, a regular human hero that is born of Earth, for them, an ending might be retiring fully.
Yeah.
Walking away from the Arrow cave, you know, or what have you. For Kara, I think a huge part of her story is that Earth is her home now. Or whatever Krypton was or is to her in a lot of ways, it's like someone leaving their birth town at like 10 years old and moving away, and they move to a different big city and that is their home now. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
For me, it's like I was born in New York. I still say I'm from New York. I haven't lived in New York in over 20 years.
Yeah. So. She's Kryptonian. She's from Krypton. She remembers growing up on Krypton, but that's not her home anymore.
Yeah.
You know, she is so acclimated to Earth. She's so acclimated to the people of Earth, and she genuinely does good there. And she has the opportunity and I would argue almost the responsibility. I mean, it's not necessarily on her, but she has the opportunity to do good in a way that humans can't do for themselves.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they would have her go home, but I think that that's a very real story arc that's going to happen probably next season. You know, the temptation of going home and, well, what am I even still doing on Earth? You know what I mean? My mother is there. My last living relatives, my people are there.
And we could always see the story arcs of, look, I have to go home for 3 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, because there are issues that we see on that planet that, you know, who knows if she has the solution to. But again, it's something where there's an alert. We have to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
A lot of things happened, though. I mean, she's got her mom back, which is great and wonderful. And we...
Okay, before we get into it, did it seem like this was like a romantic getaway at first?
Yeah.
Okay.
The second that they were in the ship and...
She's like, this is nice. You're just like, what's going on
yeah,
here?
Yeah, I can just be myself with you. Like, yeah. I don't have to pretend at all. Okay, cool.
Good. I was like, wow, this just seemed to get thrown back in a relationship real quick.
Yeah. Ooh. Wee! So, but yeah, I mean, it did seem like a weird, like, they're kind of hinting at what may or may not be and not really getting to what conversation they're going to have about it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Mon-El wants to conclude their business with Rain and then discuss with Kara what the hell, you know, is or isn't going to happen. We'll see.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was just, like I said, it was the first 5 minutes. I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, and her talking about, you know, always having to be in disguise. you know, whether it's just shielding the world from her actual identity as Kara Danvers, and, you know, the fact that she's Supergirl, and probably that was a direct reference to her having to hide from Lena. Even when she's Kara with Lena, she's got a secret, you know what I mean? So there's just no avoiding pretending.
Yeah. And it was like one of those passive aggressive statements. Not passive aggressive, probably the wrong term there.
No, not passive aggressive.
But you know what I mean? Like, just, I looked at it as like her talking about Lena the whole time.
Yeah, basically. I agree with you there. So, Kara reuniting with her mother, though, that was, I don't know. I liked it. It was a genuinely emotional little like moment.
I see it for me. I was like, first when they locked eyes and saw each other, I'm like, something's wrong. Like I instantly go with that. Like this is a swerve. you know what I mean? And I thought Supergirl would do the same thing based on the fact that it's like nothing seems to be ever what it seems for you.
But you know, her weak spot's always her family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what's going to skew her judgment for a moment. You know, they came across this planet and she hasn't seen her mom, save for a hologram of a different person, in years, you know, in over 10 years. And that's a lot. That's a lot to kind of take in. And you, when you see, you know, oh my God, someone is in front of me who I thought I'd never see again, you know, you're going to have that moment of weakness where you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, is this real? Like, you could see that there was disbelief in her eyes as she was giving her mom a hug and stuff like that. And she was in tears, and it was good.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Choked me up a little bit for a second. But
it was a nice moment for her, and she hasn't really had a lot of those lately.
Right? God.
Like, if we've kind of bitched about the way the character has gone over the last couple weeks. You know, to where she's been really snooty and kind of bitchy towards her family or her friends.
Yeah.
You know, and for her to get like a moment for her for, like I said, the first time in probably like a month, it was kind of nice.
I feel like it was a nice reward too for her kind of chilling out and realizing like her shit does stink. you know, she may be almighty Supergirl, but she's not, you know, the ruler of Earth. So calm down. You know, stop being so distrusting of Lena, etc. But yeah, it was a nice moment after she was just like, okay, all right, I need to like get myself back in check. And then she gets this, and I appreciated the way Allura reacted to Mono, because it was just like the House of El was one of the most prominent houses on Krypton. Absolutely, without a doubt, like they were one of the most important and influential houses in all of Krypton. They were on the council like all the time. They were an important family. They were basically nobility.
Yeah.
Without, you know, them having that actual system.
Yeah.
So they were the equivalent. And so it would make sense that someone who would be considered nobility on Krypton would recognize and would know what the crown prince of Daxum, their rival planet, would look like. So it was a nice moment when she was like, I recognize you. You're the prince of Daxum. And it was kind of proof there in her reaction, because it was just like, you're welcome here. You know,
I was glad they went that route, because I was like, don't drag it on. Like, you're nobody, and then have her and like create that conflict between her and Kara about like, no, he's different. He's changed and blah, blah, blah. Like, I saw like easy drama.
Right.
There.
Right.
And I was like, when she's like, you're welcome here, I understand. I was like, thank you. Like, don't draw that out into something that's not.
Yeah, exactly. That would be the easy way out for them. And I'm glad they didn't take it. And it was nice to see that what is left of the Kryptonian people are actually doing what they're saying they're doing. And they are looking to the past to correct their mistakes and move forward as a people, you know, however small of a group that might be.
Yeah.
They're trying to be better and trying to, you know, not relive their mistakes of the past that cost them their home planet. So that was, I liked that a lot. So the, all right. So we see, they gather the council together to vote on the rock. What is the name of the rock again?
I don't even remember.
I don't remember.
I always said Black Rock because it was easier to, that's what we called it. And then they gave it a real name. And I was like, yeah, Black Rock is still it.
Yeah.
I'm all about simplicity.
So this rock is actually what is powering this planet and keeping the atmosphere livable for Kryptonians, because the atmosphere was too much for their lungs and they were getting sick. They were dying. And it's also what is keeping them off the radar of their other places, which is great because they don't really have a lot to offer to defend themselves. And it looks like their resources are finite as well. Like, they're doing okay for now, but, you know, maybe 75, 100 years from now, we don't know what that little rock that they're floating on is going to be looking like.
Black Rock of Utical.
The Rock of Utical. That's what it was. But yeah, so I mean,
and of course they created that like conflict. Like, yeah, I only need a little bit, but if we give you a little bit, is that taking days away from us? Is that taking months?
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, it could be minutes, it could be years. We don't know. And that's a fair point.
It's always to say it's a little bit, but when it's not a renewable resource, you're kind of fucked.
Right. Yeah. It is an absolute finite resource. And does the rock deteriorate over time? Or, you know, is it just that is enough to power? Like, you don't know.
Yeah. There's so many questions there that, you know, they're trying to sustain a population for centuries. And we don't know what it's going to take. Is it going to take more rock, you know, later on if more people come in and they start spreading or, you know, breeding or whatever you want to say?
Yeah. I mean, so this council is kind of an echo of the old Kryptonian council, but it seems more reasonable potentially. We haven't really seen it in action before this. And so they're, you know, they're talking about the lifespan of that, you know, Rock of Utical and how it, you know, they don't know what they're giving away, et cetera, all the stuff we just mentioned. And they mentioned that, you know, maybe Kara is too human now because she's thinking just emotionally, like, I need to help these people. I need to save these people, and not thinking about the fact that this is a finite resource that they don't understand, you know, how long it's going to be before they run out of clean air. And then she gives this speech about all of Krypton's mistakes have been coming back to haunt Earth. You know, sure, they sent Cal and they sent Kara to Earth and they have been protecting the planet, but they, like, half the time they're protecting the planet from shit that is the fault of Krypton to begin with.
Yeah.
At least for Kara in this
show.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah, the Four-Roz thing is.
And she mentions that there's still criminals that they haven't found. And not everyone that was imprisoned on Fort Roz is super bad or whatever. You know, they imprisoned a lot of people, but there are some really bad ones.
Yeah.
And they haven't found all of them. And they're just still wandering Earth. They're just there, you know. Earth suffers the consequences. You know, Rain, as a world killer, all three of the world killers are a consequence of Krypton and Krypton falling, because why would they send the world killers to Earth if Krypton was still around? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. She made a lot of good points in the speech.
She did.
I was always like wondering, because you kind of know just based on how storytelling goes that she's going to get the rock.
Right.
And so you're just like, well, how is she going to convince them and convince me that I believe it?
Yeah. Convince me that she was able to convince them.
Yes. I think that's always the struggle here when the writing comes to these shows and the acting. It's like, yeah, we know you're going to convince them, but convince me.
So it felt, I really liked it because it felt like a very Supergirl, a very Kara sort of speech. It felt like she was tapping into the logical Kryptonian that she was raised as, you know, a young child and the culture that she knows.
Yeah.
And then like tapping into her human side as well and kind of mixing those to create her own brand of reason
fact, a little emotion.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of both. Because it seems like the Kryptonians are attempting to be more compassionate as people and less cold and logical. At least like to a fault anyway. Like they don't need to be so scientific to a fault that they can't hear, you know, a plea for compassion and reason. I believed it. And you're right. It definitely, with the way storytelling is going, they spent so much time over the past couple episodes setting up this rock to be so important to getting Sam back without Rain. And then they gave us basically a countdown timer of like, okay, Rain's going to break out soon. So we really, 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 really got to get this.
Really,
she's already broken out before. We've already had her, you know, wreaking havoc. We can't have her break out again. And that would just be repetitive for the story. So obviously they're going to get a little bit of it. I didn't know, however, whether they were going to get it by actually reasoning with the council and getting their permission and being granted the gift, or whether they were just going to like, sorry, mom, and like chip off a little bit and like get on out.
Yeah. And again, I wasn't sure because, of course, we kind of got more insight to who the lady was because she was part of the council.
That was my next thing I was going to talk about.
Sorry about that. But,
no, that's okay.
But I really was like, oh, what's going on? And then I started thinking other things. Like, was this lady sending the world killers to Earth to clear Earth so the Kryptonians could take over?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like that is absolutely right. Obvious. It is a very Daxum sort of plan. Clear it, but instead of enslaving the humans, just clear the Earth of all who are not worthy.
Uh-huh.
And
we can come in and take over.
Yep. The Kryptonians can move on in because clearly
they can survive.
They already knew before they sent Clark or Cal and Kara there that planet was inhabitable to them. It had a very similar atmosphere. It was livable for them, breathable. You know, it's a thriving planet. Arguably, anyway, I mean, you know, we're slowly ruining it, but yeah, it still has wildlife and things, and I absolutely think that bitchy McJerk face knew what was happening with Krypton, and she knew that if she spoke out too much, like Allura's sister, she would be sent right on to Fort Roz.
Yeah.
So she played her part in the council. She maintained her position as a figure of authority and of respect. And in the meantime, she, as like a priestess on the side, just like created the World Killers. You know, she dedicated her spare time to that, created the World Killers, and sent them on a way to Earth. Now, the weird thing comes into play then with Sam's DNA and stuff like that, because she is like... Lena said that she has like the human DNA, right?
Yeah.
And then like the Kryptonian DNA when Rain takes over. So I don't know how that worked.
Yeah, it's almost like some kind of parasite.
Yeah, especially
almost like Carnage and Venom and all them.
So did she abduct human children and then send them back?
They're just doing experiments on them the whole time.
Right, because Sam was found in a Kryptonian like pod.
Yeah.
We saw that scene of like, you know, the pod being sent from Krypton and, you know, you shall reign or whatever, and you should be known as Rain, whatever the hell she said.
Whatever cheesy line they
gave. Season ending. But yes, yeah, so I mean there are some unanswered questions there that I hope that they don't gloss over. Are they entirely important to the show? No, they're not.
It just buttons it up nice.
Yeah, but I would absolutely like to see some closure there and some clarification as to how this whole DNA thing is working and
can there be more?
Yeah. I mean, how is this? Because Rain was made on Krypton. So where did Sam's human DNA come from? You know, was she a human baby originally? Et cetera, et cetera. So I think the last thing really about Agora City is so Kara's Argo, not Agora, Argo City. Kara's mom, Allura, gave her a little box. So it looked like she gave her the rock in like a pouch potentially, and then like a little box as well, give her a little gift. So what do you think that is? Do you think it's just a little message? Do you think it's like a keepsake?
I always
think
wonder,
it's something
like,
super important? Because
they made such a big deal about the flower. I always wonder if it's something to do with that.
Maybe.
You know, just something, a reminder of home.
Maybe, yeah. But they didn't have any time to address that before returning back and just boom, next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Exactly.
So Mon-El in Argo City, he has grown so much as a character that he is mature enough to just kind of take a back seat, let Kara handle this. She knows what she's doing. These are her people. And that's exactly what he does. He, you know, he sees a sick kid. He, you know, goes to help that kid and like saves that kid's life basically by giving him that little device that, that Brainy made to cure diseases and like immunize against things that otherwise may not have been able to be eradicated. And it's not a one-time use thing. So he says, you know, wear this for like a week. You'll be better, and then pass it along to someone who isn't okay, and then they'll get better. And like, that's amazing. He did a great thing for the Kryptonian people just now by doing that.
Yeah, no, the character development growth from him is amazing, because like last year on this time, I wouldn't have bought him even giving a shit about anybody else. But you could just see the way he was looking around at the people and knowing that they were struggling and he had something that could help.
Yeah, even in some small way. You know, he took the time to go back to that little stand that they took those ponchos or whatever the hell, you know, those little cover-ups. He went back with those and said, here, you know, we're really sorry. We were trying to blend in. We were trying to, you know, kind of be incognito, and we didn't have any money, and I'm really sorry. You know, here are these back. I'd love to return them to you. I'm sorry for taking them to begin with. That was not something that was necessary to the story.
No.
You know, on TV, you can easily just slide right past that and not even address it. But it shows the growth in him as a character completely to show that, and to watch him go back and then specifically talk to the kid and say, hey, listen, I've got something that can help you. Make sure you keep passing it along. And just even not butting into Kara's like delegations with the council and stuff like that, not being like, do you need help? Like this and that? Are you sure you don't have to do this alone? Like, no, he trusts her. He believes in her. He has faith in her. And he knows, you know, these are her people. If anyone can communicate with them, it's her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's grown so much.
And not everybody might take him as a Daxum.
As
well as his mom did.
Right, exactly.
Or her mom.
And he just kind of was soft-spoken and kind of, you know, knew his place in this situation. So, it was good.
Yeah.
All right, with that, let's take a quick break.
I said I would try.
Do or do not. There is no try.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, DEAL30, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And for your viewing pleasure, 6 free spicy movies on DVD, plus
free shipping.
Always sent in discreet packaging. So go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code DEAL30. Again, that's DEAL30, because without it,
no free stuff.
That's deal30 at adamandeve.com.
Hey guys, did you know that Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service? That's right, besides the weekly free broadcasts, Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service, and when you pledge to our Patreon page, you automatically become a subscriber, so it's easy. The premium service includes video content plus additional exclusive shows like Star Trek from the Holodeck, Comic Book Chaos, DC on CW, Supernatural The Crossroads, and more. So head on over to patreon.com/rainmandigital and sign up today.
Yeah, get out there. We have tiers as low as $1. If you like us, go ahead and give us $1.
Give us your money, please. We're trying really hard.
Yeah.
We want to give you more content.
Exactly. And that $5 tier, you get hours and hours of content, behind-the-scenes videos, anything you want to see, we will do for you. We're kind of four-ish, I guess.
Anything you want, we'll do. Nope, we're stopping that. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I guess that was my bad.
The Rain Man Show. The Rain Man Show.
A woman has shot herself while using Snapchat.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so.
Please tell me she's dead.
Jesus.
Hey, I second that.
No, if you're stupid enough to take a selfie with a gun that has live ammunition in it,
yes,
and it goes off, mm-hmm. Darwinism.
Well, they took the gun filter away, so she had to use a real gun.
Foolishly playing with her uncle's .40 caliber pistol when she pulled the trigger and shot her cell phone.
Unfortunately, she did.
.40 caliber is not a small rat.
Powell suffered
last week. What's going on over there? I'm just Snapchatting, Dad. I'm just Snapchatting. Come on, Quantum Leap song!
Quantum Leap
song. I'm trying to find out to understand when it gets home! Hurry up with the Snapchat, Debbie! She came.
For more Rain Man, visit rainmanshow.com.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital, DC on CW.
All right, so we've got a couple more different story arcs to get through within this one episode.
Before we get into them, did it seem weird? Like, I really thought they should have kept on the dark side of the moon the whole time. Like, I felt like they didn't need to worry about Earth so much.
I feel like it could have been a whole episode.
Maybe the Lena and Rain stuff, but, you know, the Alex Ruby Wynn story.
That was not necessary episode.
Yeah, okay. It was complete filler for me.
Yeah.
Before we get into it. And it just, like, I was watching it the whole time going, yeah, I want to know what's going on that planet a lot
okay,
more.
But does this mean that they can't save Sam then?
Just based on the way they've been like...
How much they're... I mean, or maybe they just don't want to ignore what this means for Alex as a character. I don't know. But was it necessary this episode? Not really. Could they have kind of smushed this into the episode where Ruby and Myrn bonded.
Last week's episode.
Yeah,
a little more of that. Just
I don't know. I mean, so, you know, Alex all of a sudden has basically a child, you know, that she's raising. She's taking care of Ruby and taking on all the responsibilities.
The best way an aunt can, dyeing her hair and giving her ice cream.
Right. Woo! Taking her for rides on motorcycles.
Yes, I can be fun aunt.
Yeah. And then someone starts trying to kill her. We don't know who. We don't know why. It's totally out of left field. We have no idea what the hell's going on.
And that dude has, us as the viewers, we're going, who? Why?
Yeah, why? This, like, dude's got really bad timing.
Now?
Right? Like, come on. And so Ruby's left with Wynn to kind of bond with him. And we didn't really see the connection, but we should have. Just because, you know,
sense.
Yeah, Wynn with his dad being the toy man. He was a murderous villain. So is Rain. And so he has a whole... the moment that they shared together where he, you know, he's a jerk to her. And she takes it pretty well for like a 12-year-old kid. And she's just like, you know, yeah, my mom... all of that stuff. So
I've seen some shit too.
I also don't sleep and I'm also tired and I also feel like hell. So cool. Thanks for being a jerk, man. I'm just trying to talk to you because I'm a kid alone.
And they left me with you.
Yeah.
You know, and, I'm just looking to see how this works.
But the moment where they get to talking and they start bonding about, you know, Wynn's just like, you know, I also thought, you know, what if there's something in him that's inside of me as well? What if that's something that's going to happen to me? What if I'm going to end up like him? And that's the first time I think anyone's actually been able to relate to her on something that she's genuinely scared about.
Yeah.
And Wynn is a great person. He had a murderous, terrible, abusive, psychopathic father and a shitty mom. And
Alex isn't going to find that in a book.
Yeah. And he's able to reassure Ruby that, like, listen, you're not your parents. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on with her. You're going to be fine. You can't worry about that. You can't spend your life, you know, what if? What if I end up bad? Well, make the right decisions to not be.
Always a choice.
Yeah.
One bad day, right?
Right. That's all it takes. That's the difference, is one bad day.
I think that's always, that's going to be the ultimate nerd reference for people.
Yeah.
Because I say that to people all the time. Like, what is, I'm like, this is one bad day.
One bad day is all it takes.
And people are like, what? I'm like, never mind.
If you don't know, read more Batman. Like, that's it. Just read more iconic Batman stories.
Because that's all it takes.
Yeah. So Alex tries this plan with Jean to do a little switcheroo on this dude. And it ends up being an alien guy who's the brother of someone that
can smell people from distances. Like, the whole story was so convoluted for her just to realize that job, to put it at what?
Continue.
That it was just so, like, just like a random, like, everything about it. I was just like, all right.
It's a typical, like, cop or special agent story where it's just like, this is the family of the guy I put away and they hate me for it. Am I always going to be looking over my shoulder for the people that I put away or the people that love them and they're going to be coming after me? Like, bad guys are always chasing me. You know what I mean? Like, whatever.
Yeah, it is.
But the worst part of all of it, because it wasn't terrible. It was just a little convoluted. And a little out of left field. And a little
cheese.
I didn't need this part of Alex's story. The brief moments with Wynn and Ruby, it could have just been, hey, can you watch her for a moment? I've got to go, like, help secure Lena's lab. It could have been that.
Yeah,
and, like,
it could have been anything. Yes.
I need someone to watch Ruby for a little bit. And this is the only place I feel like she's safe because Rain is breaking out.
But
there you go.
Exactly.
Easy,
and have her get injured, just injured a little bit.
Yeah.
And just, then realize.
Just a little bit. Oh, I'm in danger. But instead, they did all this. And I did love the Wynn and Ruby stuff. It was brief and it was to the point, like, when it happened. Mm-hmm. That's all I needed. I didn't need all the Alex stuff. But, like, Alex, when she finally catches this alien dude, does something that I don't even know if it's humanly possible. And I know it ain't her suit.
And there ain't no physics.
Like, did you see that flip? I rewound and watched it again because I was like, that's not how you do that. You're barely hanging on and you expect me to believe that you can, like all of a sudden grab the guy's arm or whatever, or, like, flip yourself up backwards when you've only got one hand holding on the ledge. Like, come on, guys.
Little
stunt kung fu team, you are better than this.
They went full out kung fu movie.
I would have believed it from Supergirl. I would have believed it from Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
I mean, they can fly, so they wouldn't have, but, you know, maybe on a planet where gravity was different or something.
There was no push off. There was no nothing. It was fingertips, full front flip.
Yeah, I just took the guy down. I honestly didn't believe it. I would have believed that from, who's a superhero we have with, like, super strength? From Mon-El. Because Mon-El can't fly without his Legionnaire ring.
Yeah.
But he has super strength. I would have believed that from him.
Yeah, it was
not Alex.
It was another eye rolling moment.
Yeah, and that's kind of a bummer. The whole episode was not like that.
No,
I was bummed out with whoever was in charge of Alex's story this week. Not your best work.
No,
not your best.
Definitely. It was. If we were to, like, recut this and cut that part out, we wouldn't be missing anything.
Yeah.
If it just would have been like, Alex walking in, like you said, Ruby's in danger right now, and I have to leave you with him while we do something else.
Yeah, like Rain is almost about to break out of Lena's lab. I have to go. Like, Supergirl and Mon-El are off away. We have limited superheroes. So Jean and I need to go, and we need to be there to help secure Lena's lab, because we need to protect her, because she is our hope of synthesizing the cure for Sam.
And they actually set that story up, saying yeah. that I set all the magnet guns and everything over there, you know, with Wynn. Perfect. That's all she had to do.
That's literally it. They didn't need a little, like, I don't know, amateur assassin.
Amateur assassin for a character from season one that we didn't really remember.
Yeah. So.
Because my brother's sister's mother's daughter's dog doesn't like me.
He thought I smelled bad one time.
Yeah. And that's how he could smell between me. Like, just the whole thing. The smell thing, I rolled my eyes. I rolled my eyes. I was just like, and then her just going, this is what I have to do for all the time. You know, I'm just
gonna catch the bad guys, and is it fair, and can I do it? All right, well, how do you think cops feel?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you think firefighters feel?
Well, even that, the cop thing, this was the first guy that I got for murder when I was 16.
Yeah.
From episode Maryvale, which I think was episode 20 last year.
Oh, I forgot about that until you just brought it up. That was unnecessary.
Right? Like, that's everything about it. It was like, and now her motorcycle that she wanted forever is bloated up.
There was a lot of fat they could have trimmed in Alex's story.
Yeah.
It was literally padding the episode.
The chief from the police force came, got bail.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, it just.
Yeah. It
was such a sour note on such a good episode.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you start bringing like A content, and then you throw in like the D, and this is why we get like those B minus grades.
Yeah.
That it just slowly, like that 10 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever it was, just slowly starts creeping that episode down to where, as we call it in our industry, we pick up our phones and start figuring out what's going on the internet.
Yeah. We start scrolling through, or we, you know, take that time to text someone back and slowly start drifting away from it.
Getting in that Instagram wormhole.
Yeah. So, bummer. But we've got the Lena and Rain story.
We'll finish off on a higher note.
Yeah. Sandwich.
Yeah.
So
nobody likes the lettuce.
So Lena and James have a talk about, you know, what would Sam want to do? Like, how would Sam want to handle this situation? I think that's something that maybe hasn't been talked about enough.
I will give it to the two actors. They have been like on their A game the last three or four episodes. When they're together and they're talking, everything feels real. Everything's delivered well, and it makes you think and start believing in everything that they're saying.
Yeah. They have really good on-screen chemistry.
Yes.
I think this was the right choice for relationship, like casting, I guess, like the right choice for a relationship to put together and focus on in the show. I don't think I've been disappointed by it at all.
Oh.
It's never really felt forced. It was like, oh, that's a thing that may or may not happen. I don't know if I care about that yet. Well, but as it's progressed, I do, for sure.
And just even think about the actors in general. At one point, we're just like, she's going to become Lex, and it's fucking Jimmy Olsen who gives a shit.
Yeah.
You know, and for them to kind of have that transition where when they're on screen, we actually care.
It's
such a huge thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, okay, so let's talk about Rain. Let's talk about Sam and how and what's going on with her. So Rain, because her makeup, her genetic makeup is a little bit different than Kara's. It's not normal Kryptonian DNA. She is building up an immunity to the kryptonite. You know, Lena keeps ramping up the levels of kryptonite that are like coursing through her, and she's still building a tolerance to it, which means that's just one more thing you can't use against her. And Rain is getting, she is a cornered animal in a cage.
She's on that, like, that Exorcist level.
She's getting aggressive and taunting Lena and saying, don't think I didn't see that. Don't think I didn't notice. Oh, I see right through you. I know exactly what you're like. She's taunting her bad,
well,
man.
Just being like, you don't have it in you, but there's a dark side in you. I can see it.
You can't get past that darkness. You're always going to be, just give into it.
Just like, well, you're fucking
playing on her weaknesses psycho. And her like insecurities.
Oh, yeah.
This is the most intimidating Rain has been to me.
Psychological villains are always more intimidating than any physical thing ever, because you can always be a brute in my mind. Somebody that gets in your head and just continuously fucks with you. Like, I always think of like things like Seven, you know, what's in the box? You know, it's like, oh my God, he totally fucking got him. You know, and that's what I love in my villains. People that are able to push those buttons that you can't stop thinking, or they're in your head and they're completely just fucking with you the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, that's so much more intimidating and scary than just like, you know, like anyone can be a big, strong brute or use a scary weapon or something, you know, like, but not everyone has it in them to be capable of that psychological warfare.
Break it down.
Yeah. So this is a side of Rain that I'm glad that we're seeing, because it's especially because it's so different from Sam. Sam is such a nice, she's a mom. She's just a happy, compassionate mom. She's a good friend. She's a hard worker. Etc. Like, she's just a nice person.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so did Lena really make the choice to hit the kill switch?
You don't think she did?
I don't know. I know that she ramped up the kryptonite levels, like jacked them up, but the intention there wasn't clear to me.
Okay. I thought she made the choice.
Well, but see, the thing is Lena's not stupid. She knows that the tolerance has been building. And if at 3/4 of the way, she's already not dying of kryptonite poisoning.
Yeah.
What's that other 25% going to do? She's barely even affected by it. Okay. So what's that other 25% going to do? You know, I'm sure it felt good to press it, but do you really think that she thought it was going to kill her? I mean, I don't know. Maybe she did. And maybe we'll see some fallout from that in an episode or two where she goes, I was going to kill her, and she's kind of shaken by it. But at the same time, she went and confronted, what's his name, with a gun, you know, earlier on.
Yeah.
And she was almost going to kill that guy. I mean, she wasn't really, she was just going to shoot him probably, but, but I don't know. And even if she did, it was still for the good of mankind if she did decide to kill Rain.
Yeah, it wasn't like out of a rage moment.
One person that she loves, that she's been spending so much time and effort trying to do everything in her power to save and rid of this parasitic personality.
That's got to be tough.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing everything you can. It's like almost not so if comparing a human to an animal, but like when you have to put down an animal. You're right. Just like, you know, like there's something in them still. But they're suffering. There's something wrong that we can't fix. So I got to make this choice to push this button.
Yeah. And I just don't want to see her beating herself up about, oh, I'm a Luther and I'm bad and I'm evil and I'm going to kill and I'm going to be a killer and there's no way out of this, blah, blah, blah. There's always going to be that darkness there. Rain even said so. She could see it and she didn't even really know me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that because Lena doesn't deserve that.
No.
After putting so much energy, putting her reputation with the DEO and Supergirl and everyone on the line, you know, putting her relationships at risk to help her friend the best way she knew how, and putting so much energy and time and effort into it, and like, you know, forgetting to eat for days and just staying in the lab and working, trying to save her friend and trying to save the world.
Yeah.
So I don't think that she gets to get shit for deciding this is it, this is my Hail Mary, like maybe if we kill her it'll be done.
Yeah. And also if it does and Jimmy doesn't come to like her defense, like if Kara finds out she hits the kill switch and it was hit but it was too late, you know, and I hope it doesn't come back with Supergirl doing like the whole
oh, God, no. Don't even say it, Don't even say it.
Right? And then if Jimmy doesn't come out and say, like, no, this is something that needs to be done.
Yeah. I don't want to even think about that. I don't even want to consider that that's an option for them to, like, have a conflict about that.
Yeah.
I don't want that. No. It's not going to happen. I refuse to even think about it.
Don't go that route.
No. So, okay. So we are... This week is episode
20.
We have got three or four more.
Three. Yep.
We're ending on episode
23
on June 18th. So we have three more episodes left. And this honestly felt like a lead in to the finale because they get. You know, Rain leaves it till the last second and she's just like, oh, there it is. I'm going to bust on out of this bitch. And Mon-El and Kara get back just in time. And like I said earlier, it was very like next time on Dragon Ball Z, like they rush in to go attack each other.
Froze mid punch.
Yeah. Yay. And like someone's going to have to pass off the rock to Lena. Lena's going to have to like synthesize. And they're going to have to keep her away from blah, blah, blah. And like all sorts of shit's going to happen. And like there's going to be a big battle. What is gonna happen after that? Like, okay. I don't even know if I watched the preview for next week. I was just like, shit.
Yeah. I
panic.
Did. Yeah, because, right? Like, I instantly went to IMDb and I went, how many episodes are in the season? Because.
Oh, no, I did watch it. Sorry, go on.
It did feel like this was going to end up being the conclusion to the story, that next week should have been, like you said, them trying to battle,
yeah.
Lena doing her thing, them trying to either wrap this up somehow.
So I'm very confused about what's happening with these final episodes and what's going on with them because I don't know if Rain is going to break out of there and go recuperate before she decides to actually really attack them. Because while she has built up an immunity to the kryptonite, or a resistance to it or whatever, I'm sure it's still taken a toll on her body to do that. She's probably not at like full strength.
Yeah.
She's probably a little weakened, needs a little bit of relaction time. Maybe so
instead of the three episodes before being the shitty one, it'll be the two episodes before will be the come down episode leading into the final two.
Next week, I do remember the preview. It was Kara makes a major life decision. It's basically like the idea of being able to go home, you know, air quotes there, home to Krypton, to Argo City. This entire episode, like promo synopsis thing, description seems entirely out of place for me. It seems totally out of place. The episode for next week is called Not Kansas.
So the next episode is the come down.
Yeah. And it just says Kara makes a major life decision. Meanwhile, Jean finds out that that special DEO caliber guns have hit the streets of National City. So it's Guardian.
It's bullshit episode.
It's a bullshit episode.
It's a bullshit episode already.
So Guardian is going to be cleaning up the streets.
DC on CW will not be on next week because it's a bullshit episode. What was it like 3 weeks ago? We joked about the third episode before the finale is usually the come down episode.
It is. It's always the bullshit episode.
And now
every show, every season, because they want that big, you know, it's the final episode before the finale. And then it's the big finale. Like they need that hype. They need to bring you down, let you settle. And then they need to hype you the hell back up. So Rain isn't going to even be in next episode. I'm calling that right now, unless it's at the very, episode. Very, very end.
Boo.
Yeah. It's always the same formula.
It is.
Oh.
Heartbreak already for next week.
Way to hype up the listeners.
Well, come on. They're smart enough that they're going to watch it and go, this is a bullshit episode.
So, I mean, yeah, that kind of sucks, but. Oh well.
Yeah, nobody wants I hate filler episodes at the tail end of the season.
The whole promo for next episode is just like an Earth without Supergirl. Like, I'm sorry, why would she, like, is she going to decide to leave at the end of this season? Is that what we're looking at then? Is she going to go, well, once the business with Rain is concluded, do I just pick up and leave and go to Argo City and live with Kryptonians for the rest of my life? I mean, I feel like that's going to be a conversation. And I don't feel like she's going to do that. I feel like she's going to decide to stay. Maybe she goes home to visit or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But she's going to have to return to Argo City at some point because we've got bitchy McPriestess face.
Yeah, that has to come back.
That is relevant that she is alive and well on Krypton and she is absolutely like either transmitting through that crystal or it's just got recordings of her.
Some shady probably shit's going on that has to be explained.
But yeah, she is responsible for Rain and they would not bring that up for no reason. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, man. I just want to get into the
because
the meat of it.
Exactly. The way they finished this, it would have been a perfect like, all right, just give us 22 episodes.
Yeah.
Go into the setup of bringing whatever is happening with, you know, the Dark Priestess, Miss McBitchy Face, I think what you called her, you know, and Argo City, and then figuring out what the fuck's going on with Rain. Last two episodes. Bam, bam, done.
Yeah. I just want to get into the thick of all of it. Yeah. And just
we don't need a bullshit episode, especially... Again, thanks, Kreisberg. After a 9-week hiatus,
I was just gonna say, it's
I told Nicole on our shop, I'm just gonna make a T-shirt that says "Thanks, Kreisberg" in like the Supergirl coloring.
God, yeah. Because honestly, I love doing these shows. I love Supergirl. I love talking about these shows, but at the same time, like it feels. I can feel the difference. It feels like we have been doing this show for so long because we had that weird hiatus in addition to the winter hiatus that they do for the holidays and stuff like that.
Yeah, when we've had half the year off already.
And in addition to all of the little breaks here and there for like random little holidays or like a couple weeks off because like Legends is doing this and this is doing that and Arrow's off and this
Easter
is
and
Mother's Day,
Father's Day, whatever they want.
It just, it's beginning to feel like it's dragging. And it was, I think, partially due to the filler in this episode. And next week's going to be some bullshit.
Looks like 100% filler.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be some bullshit. It's going to be some character development. And maybe we will be surprised. You know, maybe it will be filler, but enjoyable filler. Maybe it'll be good character development. It's a Guardian-centric and Kara-centric major life decision sort of episode. Maybe Guardian's going to come out as a black man and to the public.
And you know, then she comes out as Supergirl to Lena.
Good luck with your hopes and dreams, Bob. I want that to happen so bad.
Thanks.
Sorry.
I'm fighting Conqueror, and I haven't coughed on mic all, and she made me laugh into a cough.
I haven't sneezed once this show. I'm pleased. Right. I want that to happen so bad, but I just don't know that it will.
Yeah, if it's going to be a coming out episode, we better hit it on all.
Coming out. All right. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Bob, do you have any final thoughts on this episode?
No, it was other than the Alex bullshit, I thought it was a real strong episode and I was really into what was going on. It was just the Alex bullshit just weighed on me.
Yeah.
A lot.
It was a mixed bag for sure.
I mean, the Rain, Mon-El, Supergirl storyline, Lena, perfect.
Yeah. Alex, even Wynn and Ruby.
Yeah. The Alex part of it, not so much.
A little forced.
Flawed.
Yeah. So, convoluted, forced, not as fun.
No. Didn't fit into what we were doing this week.
Yeah, I'm with you. It felt like they needed some fluff to fill it out. All right, well, that's going to be it for today's DC on CW Supergirl edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man digital app, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at DC on CW, facebook.com/DC on CW, and Instagram at DC_on_CW, and we will catch you next time.
How did you do that?
I'm Supergirl.
You're who now?